kind, so this session will be probably 1 hour and 15 minutes in order to finish on time. So this last session today is with Tatiana Vasicelli, who is Italian, but she works, she does her postdoc in Aarhus in Denmark.
Still the PhD.
The PhD
could be lies, but
her PhD in Denmark. So she's going to talk today about the art of networking, networking practices in grassroots communities. And I just want to present her shortly to say that Tatiana is a communication sociologist and an expert in network culture, hacktivism, and net art. So she's a PhD scholar at Aarhus, Denmark. She holds a master degree in new media and communication and is a PhD scholar at the Department of Information and Media Studies, Faculty of Humanities, Aarhus. She's founder of the networking project Activism Hacking Artivism in 2001, which won the honorary mention of the Digital Communities category at the Arts Electronica Festival. She wrote the book, which is called Networking, the Net as Artwork, in 2006. And from 2003 to 2008, she has been a freelance journalist based in Berlin, Germany, and she has organized several exhibitions and conventions on media, art, and activism. So we have been listening.
Thanks a lot. Okay, so today, after a lot of talk about free software and also, I would say, from a perspective that more from the inside, my talk is actually structured in something that could be somehow a bit out of the main thread of the conference, but still I think that is really related, because I will speak about the art of networking. And so the main topic would be both art, but also the idea of doing network and creative communities, and at the same time also analyzing how it's possible to create social practices and artistic projects into grassroots communities. I'm actually researching at the Aarhus Department of Information and Media Studies about the relationship between the first practices of networking that are coming from the 1950, and then we will see how and when, and the social networking of today. And I would say that I'm trying to be critical in the sense that I think also for many of you that are here has been not quite a surprise to see the developing of the Web 2.0 today. I mean, speaking about social networking is not such a new idea after years and years of developing and practices in the net. I mean, if we remember also somebody like Tim Berners-Lee, then with the idea of the hypertext and all the things that consequently came up, then we had already the social networking. But still, I think that a lot of internet-based networking platform of today could be referred to this practice of networking that have been developed years ago. And there is a thread that connects this kind of practices, not really in the sense that the one of today were inspired by the one of the past. But still, I think that if we speak about peer-to-peer and also free software culture, we are speaking about a philosophy, first of all. So a philosophy also that all of us believe, the people that are here, of course, are believing in something that brought us together. And still, these practices of networking that I'm speaking about try to construct an imaginary. And this imaginary, it's still really important to understand what is happening today, because I relied also in different journey inside the social networking platform that they are using a rhetoric that is actually really important to qualify them, but also that remind me a lot something that I already seen in the past. I mean, with the idea of do-it-yourself, openness, hackability, all these words that are related to the social networking of today, I think that were already part of the hacker culture years before. But at the same time, I also think that I don't want to be negative in what is happening today, because I think it's for the first time a really great opportunity, because we have a lot of people that before were not really attached to the internet culture, were not developing something social into the internet, that today are online. I mean, I was also surprised to see that somebody like my cousin, that I even didn't know she had the computer, is now in Facebook. And so, from one side, of course, for people that are part of the old generation of internet development, speaking about a social networking, that term today could be quite superficial. But from the other side, I think that the good thing is that there are a lot of new users that could be a good potential if this kind of social network start to be something that is really creative and they are really constructing something socially. And I think it's today not happening yet. I think that in this kind of social network that are more commercial, still there is a lot of work to do, because you are somehow guests of other people. I mean, you are not building the platform by yourself. You can customize the interface, but still you are not the one that is constructing the whole platform. And I think that in this sense, what's happened since the 50s till today, and this kind of adventure that I'm going to speak about, could be really useful to try to use differently the internet today, but not only in the social network, also in our groups, for example. And so the topic of my talk will be art as a form of intervention, the gift exchange economy, and multiple identity, plagiarism and fakes, and hacktivism and networking. And I have to say that, I have to tell that, of course, I'm coming from Italy, and it's not the case that I'm speaking about these things, because we have a really long tradition about hacktivism seen as a political movement. And so the idea of hacker culture, of course I'm not speaking about all Italy, because there are a lot of community, but still the community that I come from, and it's also the community that is organizing every year the hack meetings and is trying to refer to a more radical idea of hacker culture, is quite political. I mean, so of course they are referring to the Free Software Foundation and all the history that is floating around what free software means. And but if we step even back, I would say that my point of departure is that networking is not only something that refers to technology, so it's not only technologically determined. And I say this because, I mean, I did the research in the past and that was then published in a book that is called, as Cristina said, Networking, and you can find this online, so then I will tell you how you can download it. I mean, in this research, I try to demonstrate that, of course, speaking about networking should be only, should be not only related to the machine, but actually you could do networking also in a bar, for example. And the art of networking is really something that's more related to the creation of a community and of a social situation that the people develop in process. And for example, networking means to create networks of relationship and also to share experience and ideas with an open and independent context. So these are actually concepts that could be applied not only in the history of networking on the net, but also into the history of art and other grassroots movements and practices that were being developed before. And that is really interesting then to see that in this kind of grassroots communities, there were then a philosophy that is really similar to the one that is proper of the hacker culture. And so, speaking about art, we could think that in the past century, with the avant-garde till today, and especially with avant-garde practices that we show later, for example, Fluxus, the idea is that the art is not anymore somebody that is creating an object, but is somebody that is creating a network of a relationship. And also the idea is to create a context of sharing, And so the artists become actually a network. So somebody that is able to create a situation where the people can interact. And in this way, we are speaking about the art of networking, because there is not anymore the hierarchical division between an artist and the public, but the public start to be artists as well. And in this tradition, then we have later other practices of communities that are related to media activism and sharing knowledge, and also the idea of creating pranks, fakes, and plagiarism that is interesting as well. And so the focus of this course are the avant-garde movements like Fluxus, but also other subcultural movements like male art, newism, Luther Blissett, the BBS culture, and the hacker movement more in general. And speaking about Fluxus, I don't know how many of you know Fluxus, just to have an interaction. Ah, great, we have some people. Yeah, this makes me really proud. So I'm not like creating a big bubble in the sky. Yeah, of course, I refer to Fluxus because this has been the first avant-garde that was speaking about networking. I mean, they were not actually using this term, but still, in their idea of creating art, there was the idea of creating relationship between people. And in fact, the flux of avant-garde starts with the idea that, in the past, somebody like Duchamp started to think that whatever object of the daily life could be a work of art, and now the life starts to be the art. And so it's what also we find in Fluxus that is starting in 1962, the idea to create intervention that are first of all relating different people that were living from the US to Japan to Europe, but also they were reflecting on the idea of creating an intermedia. So something that is related to art, but also to the capacity to create a flow in the process of doing art. I mean, these were implying the creation of performance, but also doing music or painting or happening. So many different strategy and methodology and the intervention that were coming together. And I like to refer to Fluxus because for me this has been the first avant-garde that were actually already speaking about multimedia, even if they were not all using media. For example, now John Pike, that is one of the artist part of Fluxus, he was using television, but or Charlotte Moorman, as we see there, but they were not the only people in Fluxus. But the real networker of Fluxus was George Mashunas, that is also somehow considered the founder of Fluxus, even if they then always claimed that Fluxus didn't have founders. But he started to think about the name of Fluxus because he wanted to create a magazine that were connected all these people coming from different countries together. At the end, he didn't create the magazine, but started the real current of art called Fluxus. And he was a real network, and also because we were able to somehow create a configuration of what Fluxus was through diagrams. And so we have publication and publication of him creating really great flowcharts that were putting all the people part of Fluxus together. And not only that, of course, he was also investigating the history of and social movement and so on. But still, there are a lot of essays on the internet if you look about the Fluxus diagrams that are speaking about this idea of Mashunas in creating like a map of network between the people that were part of the avant-garde. And what put in common a lot of movement of the second last part of the last century is the fact that they were referring to a gift exchange economy. And not only Fluxus, but also later movements were based with the fact that you were trying to create something that were able to involve the public as well, as I said. So, for example, just to give a clear example, in Fluxus you had a performance of a musician that was like playing with referring to a concept about fire, and then you had the people in the public that were passing one to each other a piece of ice, and when the piece of ice were liquefied, then the music stopped. So this really show you how the public were really involved. But was also important that they were able to create an intimate bureaucracy in the fact that first Fluxus, but also later the mail art, they were exchanging between them information through the post, for example, and so they were creating a modality and strategy to somehow transform the normal bureaucracy in something that was artistic. And so, for example, in the mail art, we have people that were creating stamps, or rubber stamps, or just different kind of envelope that were traveling around the postal circuit. But first of all, the real basic idea of mail art was the fact that the artists were the network operator, and so from there, the picture, you can see how changed the structure, and I would say that mail art has been the first real network movement, or networking movement, because they were actually speaking about a network. They were called the network of mail art. And in this picture, you can see that, of course, in the traditional idea of art, you have always the artist that is referring to an artwork, that then is speaking with the art curator and the museum, and only at the end reach the audience. So you create a kind of a circle where the artist is somehow isolated. He never gets in contact completely with the audience in this process of markets. And but with the network operator, actually the public and the audience start to be completely involved, and at the same time also their involving is possible also through a mixed media combination. So they were using different media. And one of the first mail artists was Ray Johnson, that created the New Correspondence School in New York. And was a quite interesting project, because it was actually collecting a lot of people that were into mail art, and at the same time was really creating a different idea of communicate through the simple fact of using the post creatively. And just 2 weeks ago I went to visit Vittore Baroni, that is one of the most famous, if we want to say like that, Italian mail artist that is still active in his mail art activity. And he created a magazine that was called Postal Art, and he was not the only one. A lot of people, part of the mail art network, that were creating an independent magazine. And right now, of course, also the mail artists start to be more technological, and so they also have a social network in Ning. So if you look at dododada.ning.com, you find that all the Italian mail artists are actually in the social network, and they also use the internet as well. But it's really, I mean, of course it's in Italian, so I don't know how, what you are going to understand, but it's really interesting that website, because actually show you how could be possible to integrate to these two different way of doing networking, and how to create something that for me is really a more creative social network, something that actually the people have this idea that are exchanging something, and so the point of the gift economy is really part of that, because of course you are not doing mail art because you think to earn money or to be part of a museum collection, but because you want to be part of this community. And actually a lot of mail artists spend also quite a lot of money, because of course if you start to do projects involving people, then you have to send a lot of mail around. And the process is usually that the mail artist is doing a creative call that is then send to all the people that are part of the network, and then these people usually send something back. And when the mail artist that started the call, that is actually the network, has all the thing back, then he created documentation of the whole process that he sent back to each of the people that participated. So you see that actually there is a kind of economy that is connected to people, but of course it's not an economy that is a commercial economy. It's more based into the idea of knowledge sharing. And another movement that always I like to refer is Newism, that is actually really unknown. And of course the people that were part of that know, and some other crazy interested individuality, but still I would say that is quite unknown grassroots movement that could be really interesting to actually refer to what is happening today, because they were working with the identity. And so we have here a definition of tentatively a convenience that is one of the Newist, and he said that Newism is an international prefix more than a suffix without anything in between. A Newism does not exist, and it is a pure invention of its enemies, of the anti-Newist. So this is the definition of Newism. And is has been founded in 1979 in Montreal in Canada, and then in Baltimore in the USA, and then spread through America, Europe, and Australia, and a lot of people started to be part of this movement. And what they did, they were usually periodically organizing from 1979 till 1998 Newist Festival, that were also called Newist Apartment Festival, and they were occasion of course, sharing knowledge, creating performance, quite spontaneous performance, but also they have a really particular symbolism. You can see in that picture, they were really working with the visual symbols, for example, a flaming steam iron, or like a red cloth, or they were doing an improvised haircut, so during this performance the people were cutting their hair one each other, or they were doing a telepathic flow through hanger, so they were actually connected through the hook of the hanger, and they were creating their flow like this. So, of course, it's quite anti-chronoclastic movement, but I would say it's really interesting because, first of all, they were the first speaking about network web, and was 19, I mean, the first, I would say, people that were actually trying to concretize this idea in the more grassroots art movement. And in 1981, they were speaking about the Center of Newist Research, and the point was creating collaborative research and sharing and diffusing innovative ideas and developing new form of creative communication. And at the same time, they were also publishing independent magazines, for example, like Smile, that was then a consequence of other magazines that were made before by mail artists like Vile. And a lot of Newists at the beginning were using the mail art to communicate each other. So you see that there is a flow that connect all these things. And here we come to Italy, and but not only Italy, but even if a lot of people know that Luther Bistet was born there, but then was spread everywhere, also in London, for example, we had a lot of Luther Bistet. Luther Bistet was a mediatic ghost, in the sense that he's actually everybody and nobody at the same time. I mean, and they were able for the first time to create a really huge network of people that were not actually referring to either the world of art and not to the politics. So there was not any political intent in Luther Bistet, but it was not either an artistic intent, it was just Luther Bistet. And the idea was that everybody could be Luther Bistet, and in Italy started to create a lot of intervention and action connected people that were claiming to be Luther Bistet. And so they were usually creating a viral project into media, and trying to show that the rule of the media system are really, really fragile, and you can easily somehow be the virus inside them and then show to the public or to the extern how they run. And so, for example, with the Henry Kipper, that is also another fake name, they create the idea of organizing a fake into a television show of Italy that is called Chi l'ha visto, that means who has seen her or him, and is about people that are going in a different city looking for other individual that has been lost from the family or nobody knows where they are. And so there is usually this equip of the television manager that is going around to look for this person. And they were able to invent this figure of Henry Kipper, that was an artist that was somehow disappeared during the tentative to create the world art into Europe, traveling by mountain bike, and then he got lost. And so the crazy thing is that the people of this TV show believe of this story, and they were really looking for this person. And so when the TV show went on, everything was all right, but only after that they revealed to the press that Henry Kipper was never existed. And so this is quite funny. At the same time, also, they did another intervention in a Roman bus. This was called a New East bus, because, of course, they were referring to Neoism as well, and to the idea of Monty Cansin, that was also the common identity of Neoism, because, yeah, I didn't say, but, of course, this is... Neoism as well had the idea of creating a fake identity that was an open pop star, so everybody could be Monty Cansin. And at the same time, with Luther Blissett, everybody could be Luther Blissett. And so they hijack a bus in Rome, and they started to do a radio program connected to a public radio in Rome that were doing a reportage about them. And so they arrived in a famous square of Rome, and of course they started to create a kind of situationist open party inside the bus. And then the police arrived, of course, because they always arrive, and they wanted that all the people went out of the bus, because of course they were not supposed to be there doing a party. And when they asked them to show the ticket of the bus, they all say that they didn't have, because they were doing the normal party, and at the same time they were all Luther Blissett. And they asked the document, and they say, no, we don't have, we are Luther Blissett. So at the end of the history finished with the fact that the police also shot some shot on the air with the gun, and this is really typical of this situation, but still nothing happened. I mean, the people were brought to the police station, and then the thing finished there. I mean, there were people also speaking about a process, and I believe that is true, that all the Luther Blissett were involved in a common process, because of course then they got persecuted by the police. But the real point was to show that of course it's possible to create intervention when you have a common name and you don't have a fixed identity. And there is a thread also that is connecting like Neoism and Luther Blissett, also what the 01.org artist did in Italy, and a collective that is called Vooming that are writing really interesting book, you can find also in English. And they are actually coming from the Luther Blissett, and they started to publish books that are also open source, in the sense that you can finally download them. And they also refer to the idea of a common author, because they are called Vooming 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so only later they revealed their real name. But at the beginning also they signed the first book with Luther Blissett, and this book was called Q. So I suggest you to read, because it's really great. And I connect all this discourse with the idea of the hacktivism strategies, When I speak about hacktivism, I refer to the idea of hacker culture that is also connected with the idea of creating practical and social and political intervention into the system. And this means to act within social and cultural fracture and to reinvent and rewrite exclusive codes and social rules. And to create new artistic and political practices, of course, also to have fun. And in Italy, there is an idea that combines computer technology and social and political action that is connected to a big network of people. And I created this map doing plagiarism of another map that was done by a duo that is called Jodi.org, and they are a famous net artist. And they did a map about the net culture of the Middle Central Europe. And I did a map about the hacktivism and art in Italy. So now it's a bit old because I did it in 2004, so a lot of link could be changed. But still, if you go in that website, you can see that each of the rectangle is actually a link. And the idea is that from the left to the right, you are connecting different macro situations that are referring from hacker culture to art. And they are sharing common objectives that are political objectives and also are part of the history of hacker culture in Italy. And some of the roots of this idea of hacktivism are coming from the do-it-yourself culture, but also from punk and from the cyberpunk as well. And it's really singular that in Italy, after the 80s, a lot of people started to interpret the cyberpunk literature into a social movement, and so trying to apply what you read in books like written by Gibson, Sterling, or even Ballard, Pynchon, into something that is the social reality. And so a lot of people in the 80s started to squat places, and was born a really great movement of people that were connected the idea of liberating the space but also liberating the technology, because at the same time they started to create BBS. And so we have a long history of the BBS in Italy that is starting with Fidonet, but then is arriving till today when a lot of BBS transform into website. And the idea of course was to try to create a free space of sharing knowledge and also construction, and of course trying to apply the concept that communication wants and has to be free. And so also this long history that I'm not telling all today, because otherwise I'm not going to finish, is a bit written in my book, so you can read there as well. But a lot of people that today are also younger, so were not part of the BBS backgrounds, are meeting during summer in the hack meetings, and the first was in 1998, and they started with the idea of connecting people that were part of the hack meeting mailing list into a common situation where they could organize a seminar, workshop, a performance, and different strategy to share what they've been doing in terms of hacking, and not only, because what is also interesting is that in Italy, the hacker movement always claimed that you could be a hacker even if you are not able to use a computer, because hacking is an attitude of mind and is a philosophy, so you could be also an hacker even if you do something else, I don't know, maybe you repair bicycle, but it's the idea of trying to, of course, working for something that you reinvent, you reconstruct, and first of all you share and make free and open. And at the same time also I suggest to check the website of candida.think.net, because they did a lot of interesting website video during the hack meeting. And there is also the international hack meeting that is called Trans Hack Meeting. And for example, we met there. We went at the hack meeting, Trans Hack Meeting in Oslo. And so let's see what is coming after that. And but another interesting background of all this, of course, is Radio Lice, that was one of the radio that in the late 70s trying to create an idea of open communication, and also was one of the first pirate radio in Italy, that then today is more related with the network of Telestreet. So pirates, well, I mean, pirate is not maybe the right term, but I mean, they are open and free television that since the 2000s started to be created in Italy, somehow to try to transform the limitation given by our fantastic communication law that doesn't allow to have many frequencies. So if you want to transmit, you are not able to do because all the frequencies are already assigned. And so if you want to do something by yourself, you have to create somehow a pirate television that is using the idea of creating an antenna where the signal of the television is not arriving because there is kind of black hole. And so they use this technique to create a lot of TV. It was really interesting because there were really a lot and in all country, and they were connected each other. So this is really an Italian interesting things that all these people part of the hacker culture are actually knowing themselves, and they meet and they share ideas, and they travel around and so on. And so other project that then bring me to the final project that I want to discuss today, that is one of the last thing that happened in Italy actually last October. So these projects are Molle Industria, San Precario and Serpi Canaro. They are all working into the precarious movement and with the idea of course to try to create communication strategy that are changing somehow the normal way to see the politics and also the art. And Molle Industria is a developer of political video games, and he does really interesting thing that are actually also really fun to play. And then San Precario is the patron saint of the all precarious people that have a flexible job, and so of course in Italy they create a saint because this is something that has to happen. And the Serpi Canaro is the anagram of San Precario, so they change the order of the letter, and they create a fake fashion designer that were able to make participate in the Fashion Week in Milan, and only at the end the people realized that she was not existing. And Serpi Canaro is finally bringing us to Anna Adamolo, and this is the other project I want to speak about, but I need another part of the... Sorry, this is another thing. And so, hold in a second. Okay. Okay, so this is Italia, but you don't need to read. But what for me is really important is to speak about Anna Adamolo, that is actually a really interesting situation happening right now in Italy. I don't know if you heard about a lot of demonstrations that were happening last autumn in the educational system and the students and the university, the school, and a lot of people part of the education that were starting to fight with the government and organizing a lot of demonstration on the streets. And so for practically 2 months, a lot of Italian cities were blocked because the people were demonstrating. And what they did that I found really interesting is that they managed to block completely the traffic in different places of the city, coordinating from one place to the other all together. And so there were a kind of fluid movement that was called Onda Anomala, that in Italian means anomalous way, and they were acting against this new reform made by the Gelmini minister in Italy, that is the minister of education, that is actually cutting a lot of public funding for the instruction, and also which is quite conservative because it's like putting back again the vote for the behavior of the people in the class. Also, they want that you get you go into the elementary school with a uniform. That were things that, of course, were already abolished years ago. But of course, what was really the strongest point is that these reforms started to give a lot of more money to private company. To transfer, I mean, the money of the government into private company and industry or whatever, and cutting funding to the health system and the educational system is what always happening when they have to cut something. Of course, they cut where they shouldn't. And so a lot of people started to react, and the people that were also part of the hacker culture in Italy, taking back the experience of Seppi Canaro, Luther Blissett, Monty Canzi, and all these autonomous and ghost identity, create Anna Damulo. And they did different action. First of all, they created the image of Anna Damulo that's has been somehow the icon of a lot of people that were creating demonstration in the streets. Also, Anna Damulo is the anagram of Onda Anomala, as I say, and Onda Anomala is the name of this movement. And at the same time, they also created intervention into Facebook and also into the internet. This is really nice because they created first this figure of Anna Damulo that were started to be like the heroine of the and the little symbol of this movement. But at the same time, oh no, doesn't come, make me come back anymore. This I ate. Okay, this was. At the same time, they wanted to spread this symbolic figure into Facebook, and they create a fake character that is made by the combination of a lot of other people that were started to be used, but a lot of users of Facebook the same day that the people did the national demonstration in Rome against this law that the Germany was approving, so the 133 law. And but was also was interesting that a lot of people to support briefly explained this what's happened. The point is that a lot of people started to transform their identity in Facebook, transforming themselves in Anna Damulo. And so what they did is also that they create a new website that's registered with ministeroistruzione.net, that means the Ministry of Education. And strangely, the minister didn't have this domain. And if you were there, you had the copy of the website, so they did a kind of cloning strategy, but you were immediately redirected to another website where you had a video with the voice of Anna Damulo that was showing the image of the demonstration. And at the same time, you have a lot of story told by people that were protesting against this law. And if you wanted, you could also call that telephone number and record your story. And it's interesting because for the first time, they really opened this idea of hacking also to people that were not really part of the hacker culture, because they were either the teacher of the elementary school or the students of the university. And I also did a Google bombing action where they were able to reach the third place of the query of the Google research. If you were looking for Ministry of Education, you had their fake website at the third place. And at the end, in January 2009, so this January, they also published a book that were collecting all the story of these people that were protesting and that were also recorded before in the website. So this is like the conclusion to tell you that I think that this has been a really great project to show how it's possible actually also to work into the social networking in a creative way. In the fact that, of course, they were not just acting inside, but they were referring to people that were on the street, and they were creating a movement that was connecting in different situations. It was a movement that was not only part of the hacker culture, but was open to everybody. And so they were able to create a real imaginary around this figure of Anna Damolo that is still used from a lot of people that are demonstrating against this law that, of course, was not changed. Even if you protest in Italy, they never change anything. So, yeah, I conclude with this, and of course I'm open to questions. And my big question is that after this, is still open to speak about... It's still possible to speak about open and free situation in the internet today, and and also networking project that could be really social. So I think that it's still possible, but I think also that there is still a lot to do, because the first and most important thing should be the fact that you should open to people that are also not only part of your subculture, but to reach the people, you should really reach them.
Thank you very much. It is inspiring. If you'd like to raise your questions, I think there's around 22, so we still have time to discuss. I see one hand there.
Okay, I only heard half of it, so you have to take that in mind.
Yeah.
When I heard your presentation, I came to think of an article which I read in England, which I think is called The Bluffer's Poker or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find the name of the author now. And the first sentence reads like this: when someone speaks about politics in an artistic context, there is lies, or someone lies. And basically, then the argument is that a lot of the logic within the artistic scene is to engage in politics and look like politics, and that it's immediately captured as a way of raising sign value in the artist and what is being produced. And also, more historically, there is a lot of questions on the relation between aesthetics and politics. So
mm-hmm.
I wonder if, would this apply to the examples which you spoke about, and what do you think about this?
But the question is that how is possible to put politics into art?
As one could see it as if you refer to the situationist as well,
mm-hmm.
One could say as soon as you have art, you have already given up politics. I mean, that would be one way of phrasing it.
No, it depends which kind of politics you speak, because of course I'm not speaking about the traditional politics of the parties. I mean, of course, all these movements that I'm referring to, they are speaking about do it yourself, and is not related to the traditional politics. We are speaking more about radical politics, and in this way, for me, maybe because I come from Italy, for us it's really... also easy to speak about hacker culture in terms of politics. I think that, of course, when either you do art or you use the computer, you are doing a choice. I mean, the choice is also why you are using Linux. For me, also, the idea of using Linux is doing politics. But I want to be really clear. I'm not speaking about a party, but the fact of... trying to intervene and change the society to rewrite something. And this is politics, because you are actually doing a choice. And I think it's really important that you somehow frame this choice, because then it's easy for people somehow to get your rhetoric and do something else. I mean, see what is happening to Web 2.0. They are using exactly the same language of the hacker culture, but they are doing a commercial platform. So I would say, for me, it's really important that you claim that you are doing something political, because, of course, if it's not possible to see a consequence of what you do, it's really easily to create confusion.
No question about that. But
yeah.
How do you see that linking
to art? That is a difficult question, but... depend, of course, which kind of art you are speaking about. Of course, the situationism was also really political. I mean, they were really close group, and I think actually today has been a bit romanticized because I mean a lot of situations were actually throwing out people if they were not sharing the same idea, and so. But I don't have this idea of politics. For me, politics should be something open. And referring to art, in Italy there's this strong tradition of art seen as activism in the sense that you are creating something that is not an object but is a process of a relationship. So, as I say, something where the people could create a context and the art is a creator of context and then the public is directly changing this initial context in something that is transforming. And this could be also seen as an idea of creating something radical because it's also really related in Italy with the idea of the social center to the idea of liberating the place or squatting the place. So for me, it's connected. But of course, I'm speaking about some Italian situation. Of course, if I speak about Fluxus, I'm not speaking about politics. And also, I would say Newism and Luther Blissett that I referred before were absolutely not related to politics. So, it's a, I mean, I'm not saying that all the things that I was speaking about today are politics. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to what you said, it seems to me that you probably should have emphasized more one particular switch when traditional fluxes and things like that move over into a net environment, because a distinctive difference is on the one hand you can use the net to transfer information, pictures, mail art. And then there is the other part, which is you can use the sort of vividness of the net, the sort of community within the net, which allows you to constitute particular identities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the examples you ended up with were fake persons, and this plays on the capacity of the web. To create robots and to create life forms, so the forms of life within the net, and that's not the same thing as for example sending emails in a recursive loop or something like that. I can see that your point was to show us a certain continuity, but the sort of life that a fake person develops, with given Facebook and given the all the customs of the net, seems to me to be distinct from just using. You could use fax machines. You can't, for example, simply cannot use fax machines in the same way that you can use the web. You can't use telephones. You can't even use email in some way.
Yeah, but in fact, I say at the beginning that when I speak about networking, I'm not only speaking about internet. And so for me, the point was also to show that it's possible to speak about this concept referring to different situations that were not even using internet. I mean, Fluxus was never using internet. They were using the normal post to share their message, also the telephone. But the mail art at the beginning was, of course, not using internet. But for me, there is something that is connected to all these practices because they show for the first time how it's possible to combine first art life, but also the idea of to involve people in a process of networking that is directly involving a public. So there is not anymore this distinction between the genius that is creating something and the people that step back, but they somehow mix the project. And first of all, they open this project because it's then referred to a collectivity of other people that can create their intervention, and I didn't have so much time to explain, but the fact that they changed the identity there is really interesting, because in Facebook they at the beginning were creating an account of the ministry. So they had an account of Maria Stella Germini that of course was not made by them but by these people, and then the same day of the strike, the national strike, they changed into Anna D'Amoro. And of course, all the people that were became friends of Maria Stella Germini, but also people that were actually supporting her, so real politicians, when they saw that the account was changed, they say, "Oh, you hijacked the account," but they didn't understand that was never been done by the politician thing. So this is also interesting, because it's showing the trick of the media, as for example Luther Bissett did, and I think also Fluxus did before, because they were creating situation where actually somehow they were involving different media, and that they were not using art in a traditional way, but in something that was a real network, because they were, from Japan to US to Europe. But for me, the real strong point is that I wanted to show with this presentation that networking is also a philosophy that is connected to the idea of creating a context that is open. And so it's really important that it's not only referred to the technology, but it could be done with the mail, as the mail artist did with the post. So it's an attitude of mine.
Well, first I have to say that I'm more or less ignorant of art. Sometimes I think I'm just not capable to understand art. But at the same time, I'm trying to figure out whether there are similarities or differences mm-hmm. between art and free software, for instance, or peer production in a more general sense. And, well, actually, I have no idea. What I see in peer production, for instance, is that the producers are usually more or less anonymous. You don't know about these persons.
Mm-hmm.
In the classical art, the artist is something which is known, but your examples, the only persons in quotes which are known are virtual persons. So, would you think this, for instance, is a similarity? Or?
Yeah, of course. Okay. No, because I would say that a lot of people also that were creating in Italy this kind of project are completely reconnected with the hacker culture in Italy, and the hacker culture in Italy is completely reconnected with the free software
mm-hmm.
culture. So all the people are using Linux during the DEC meeting, they do courses to also try to make people that don't know how to use to use it, and then there are the more sophisticated things that
mm-hmm.
are really for hard developer. The whole Italian more political community, but not only that, of course, is using Linux, and there is a reason. So they are connected. Otherwise, why I am here? So my point was also to bring this discourse, because they are connected.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to show that the philosophy of peer-to-peer could be applied also to art and to these kind of things. Mm-hmm.
You can really just respond as you like. The first comment is relevant to Hubert's point. I think, because in the beginning you say you are trying to present something critical. You want to present a critical perspective. But I think from what I understand from your presentation, this seems to me more historical, comparative views you try to present. So perhaps it makes sense and to look at the evolution of internet technologies.
Mm-hmm.
There are different kind of tools, and from the 70s, there are how technologies enable and empower artists to do what they want. And then now, to the state of art of today's web technologies, so how it enable and empower
mm-hmm.
people to do.
No, but of course. No, I think, of course, the things change also because the technologies change, and what the people did with Anna D'Amoro could have never been possible before because they use Facebook.
So I think
we
need to emphasize
mm-hmm.
the role of technologies and how it evolves over time and how it enables
mm-hmm.
this kind of artists.
Yeah, but I understand your point, but for me it's really important instead to step back this idea that networking has always to be related with technology. For me, it's not like this. It's more related to the idea of creating a common context of sharing. So I decide to don't refer to technology, but to practices that are more social and related to the idea of creating grassroots communities. But I think, of course, there are different...
Perhaps technology is really a broad term. It doesn't necessarily have to mean digital technology. Mm-hmm. It can mean everyday objects. So it's kind of just the tangible culture, material culture.
Yeah.
So you can probably look into it in that way. Mm-hmm. As I say, it's a comment, and so you can...
Of course.
Take it or not take it. And then the second comment is relevant to what Stefan's saying. What I see is that the common identity created on Facebook is on the one hand visible because you are creating a collective symbol, a kind of icon that can be shared on the internet. But on the other hand, it's invisible. It's everyone is just hiding behind that common icon. So it's just interesting to see there's duality over there that it's hybrid in a way because the icon is both visible and then on the other hand is invisible because we make people anonymize.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not individuals' voices being heard, it's actually a common icon.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, if you see in the image of Anna D'Amoro, they decide don't do the mouth because they see that she's speaking for all the people that are acting against this law. And so they also decide that should have been a really simple icon that all the people could do and use. In fact, then in the demonstrations, the people started to create the glasses and go around with these glasses or somehow use other part of this symbology. But was, done because they wanted to create somehow a collective identity that could be a symbol of this demonstration and working also with media. And in fact, it was completely adopted by the movement of the anomalous way. And so I think in this way, I speak about criticism also because for me, this shows how it's possible to use a platform that has a lot of limitations like Facebook in something that has actually a sense. Because I'm there, but of course, everybody of us knows that it's like stupid to speak about social networking because you are basically collecting friends. So it's nice because you are able to reach all these people if you want, but still you are not really sharing something deep with them. It's all like the idea of creating a database of friends. But still, I think that these kind of things have a potential if the people start to be critic inside and also somehow start to use this technology for a purpose that is not the ordinary one. In this sense, they were able to attach a lot of people also because they use Facebook. And in fact, after some days, they already arrived to 1,000 friends. And of course, then they started to spread like a virus. So the technology is important, but I think for me, this presentation was important also to show how you can use it critically. Of course, you are using the internet, but you could be critic.
I think you're
okay.
I would have been interested to know about the different tools you can use to make a networking part. But for instance, for me, it's a GPS, what Esther Polak did. And for me, it's what the main stuff I see in networking part.
If I know something with GPS?
Yeah. For instance,
no, I know that there are projects going on, but of course now, after all this speaking, I have a kind of black spot, but...
If you know some other tools.
Eh?
I think
if you know some other tools to do networking.
No, of course I know a lot of people doing that now, but with GPS... there is this group that is called Yellow Arrow. They are from US, and they are also using GPS in the sense that they create a psychogeographic project where you have to trace different commands that they write you through SMS, and also they combined, of course, a map of the city, and you have to go around creating your psychogeography. So there are interesting projects. Yeah, this Yellow Arrow, for example, you can look for that. They are based in New York. Mm.
There's one more there, and there's another, and we have 4 minutes, 3 minutes, and you can wrap up.
Okay.
So, you go.
So do you have any examples of musicians or experimental music using this kind of networking? Not as marketing, but as a part of the music?
Now all this question like this. No, but of course it's good. I have to think about experimental music. Yeah, I mean, historically there have been a lot of interesting stuff. For example, Tommaso Tozzi in Italy, he did a project that was called Happening Digitali Interattivi, that means digital interactive happening, and he was creating a music project in the sense that he was doing like spreading a track of music through different people that were continuing the music. So at the end, he was able to collect a chain of different tracks that were put together, was 1991, in a box with inside a floppy disk, a book, and a CD-ROM that were combining all together the same material but reversed in different forms. But of course, this was a project of 1991. But I mean, if you are interested in really networking things and connected to music, also Vittore Baroni, right now, this male artist, is launching a project that is referring also to futurism, because of course, it's 100 years after futurism now. So in Italy, a lot of people are working on that. And if you go also to dododada.ning.net, you find the call, and the idea is to send him a sound object, in the sense you have to produce a real physical object that is producing a sound. You send to him, and then he collects all the sounds together, and he is organizing the exhibition in Toscana, where he's living, creating a common composition of all these people. But of course, if you go to Fluxus, you can speak to you can refer to John Cage. I mean, he was the first experimental musician that was also working with network, I would say.
My question is just about state surveillance. I mean, our state has just announced that they're going to monitor Facebook and social network sites because of terrorism and because of crime. Now, would a terrorist go on Facebook and say, look, I'm a terrorist, be my friend? Mm. No. So that's the kind of thing that worries me about this, is that it can be used by the state to gather information about people who are dissenters.
Yeah.
And round them all up and put them in camps.
No, but in fact, I really think that is terrible. I mean, I'm not a supporter.
I'm just saying, you know,
so
use anonymous.
If the people want really to use Facebook, they should use in this way.
Yeah.
Of course, you don't know who is Anna Damol.
No. Mm. And you hide your IP address, or you make it difficult for the state.
Yeah, I think they did something to hide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is there someone else who's burning for something last share? Good idea, you can wrap up.